What tools are important to you as you prepare a lesson from the scriptures for other people? Before you preach and teach, what tools are you using to put together a lesson that is both effective and accurate? That is what we're going to be talking about today in Tuesday Teaching Tip, episode 331, the third part of our current series on biblical preaching, largely inspired by this terrific book, Biblical Preaching, Haddon W. Robinson. If you haven't read it, do yourself a favor. Also do your audience and your congregation a favor by reading it and studying that terrific book. And we're not going to go through the third chapter today in its detail, but we are going to take inspiration from that chapter and talk about the tools of the trade. Now, before getting into the details, I should offer this point of clarification, I think, that when we talk about tools for preaching and teaching, we're not talking about engineering a sermon, nor producing some kind of formula. As some of you will know, my wife is a doctor, and once, when I first got to know her, I asked her, what is the essence of being a doctor? And she said, practicing medicine is part science and part art. And what she was conveying was that although science needs to be robust, if the science is your primary or kind of your exclusive focus as you're trying to be a doctor, it can obscure the person you're meant to be treating. It gets in the way. Who wants to be treated by a doctor who doesn't listen to you, fails to acknowledge your presence, doesn't treat you as an individual? And similarly, no so-called technique for lesson preparation will work for all people in all contexts, nor will one method work for one person all the time. So as we explore tools, the tools that we use and the ways in which we use them, let's do so with half an eye at least on how they may be utilized flexibly, not rigidly. Alternatively, by the way, those who approach preaching as a from the heart, have an approach just like that, and who pay lip service to proper exegesis, are the equivalent of a doctor who treats their patients according to folklore, feelings, and fantasy. And that's not a doctor I want looking after my health. So effective preaching and teaching is a blend. It's a blend of art and science. In this episode, we'll focus on the latter, the science more, the tools more than the former, but both are necessary, and we will consider and explore both in this current series. Now, today, the tools of the trade. I'm going to offer you a few thoughts and then let me know what you think. Firstly, if you're going to preach, this may seem obvious, but you've got to choose the passage to be preached. You've got to pick one. Maybe you're assigned it, but you've got to at least decide on it. It might be a verse, it might be a paragraph, it might be a whole section, it might be a chapter, it might be an entire book, but you've got to choose. And how do you choose? And what thoughts do you bring to bear on that issue of picking a topic and or a section or a text? So in my opinion, there's a balance to be found between choosing texts and topics which are meaningful to you and perhaps of immediate relevance to your congregation, as well as thinking systematically, though, about the biblical education of your faith community. Is there a balance, for example, in your preaching and teaching as you look through the year or the years? Is there a balance between the Old Testament and the New Testament? How are you doing at covering a mix of, say, different genres? Have you taught parables and prophecy and poetry and narrative? We tend to have our favorites, but if we're going to be an effective preacher and teacher, we need to look at all parts of the Bible and all kinds of texts. Now, in Haddon Robinson's book, you'll find more on the issues of thought units, topical exposition, and sermon length, but I won't cover that here today. But the first thing you've got to do is pick your text. Secondly, having done that, you need to study the passage and gather your notes, making notes. It should go without saying that we need our own ideas about a text. Before you use the scholarship of other people in books and commentaries and so on, it's important to take the time to read the passage in preferably more than one translation. I'd recommend three if you can do it, maybe more, but at least more than one translation, and to then make your own notes on that verse or paragraph or that section that you're going to be preaching about. Make your own notes. Write down your own thoughts. Now, be systematic in writing those things down, not just putting them in your head. They won't stay there, will they? So keep your notes in a booklet, in a folder, in a file on a computer, Perhaps within some Bible software, which is usually the best way to do it. I keep my notes in my Bible software called Accordance, and I also put them in a note-taking app called Obsidian. That's what I'm using at the moment, in both those places in different ways. Now, in Haddon Robertson's book, you'll find more on the issues of examining the context of a passage, also on things called lexicons, if you haven't heard of those, concordances, grammars, word study books, Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, commentaries, bibliographies, and a number of other tools. Again, not going to go into those today. Have a look at the book for that. And don't be afraid of some of those words and ideas that you never heard of before. You don't have to employ all of them for every lesson, but knowing what kind of resources exist and how they can be useful will mean that on occasions you'll be studying a passage and think, I wouldn't normally use a lexicon, or I wouldn't for this other passage, but for this one, that will be useful. So it's important to get to know what these things are so that you can see when that tool can be useful to you. Thirdly, as you study the passage you've chosen, relate the parts to one another to determine the exegetical idea and its development. In other words, that passage you've chosen, let's say it's a chapter of Philippians. That chapter, what is its main point? And how does it relate to the different parts of that chapter relate to that point? And how does the main idea get developed in that passage? It could be about faith. It could be about love. It could be about new life. It could be about new creation. It could be about being transformed into Christ-likeness. It could be about all kinds of things. What is the main point? How is it developed? How do the bits of that section all connect to one another? You see, there's a chasm that separates what a passage is saying from what it means. Because the facts of what it says are what it says, but that doesn't give you necessarily its meaning. And that's why we study the passage so much, so that we can get to the not just what it is saying, but what does it mean? What is its point? And the chasm between its facts, if you like, and its meaning, that chasm is bridged by asking questions of the text. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verses 47 to 50, we're told that Jesus walked on the lake. He walked on the water. Now, to simply restate that information when you're preaching and teaching, look at that, Jesus walked on the water. That doesn't make a sermon. That's just telling everybody what they can already see in the text. It doesn't have anything to do in the telling of that. doesn't say anything about its meaning. So we must inquire as to the purpose of the passage. Why are we being told this? We've got to ask ourselves, why does Mark include this incident? What comes before it and what comes after it? Is it important, for example, that it comes after the feeding of the 5,000? Is that connected to the walking on the water? In what way might that be connected? You'd need to ask yourself what that's about in order to determine if the context is significant. How does that passage fit with the rest of Mark's emphasis? What do you know about the Gospel of Mark and what Mark is highlighting? We'd also want to look at the wider biblical context. For example, is there any significance to the mention of the mountainside in verse 46? It goes up on a mountain. Is that important biblically? What do we see connected to mountains? And what was Hebrew thinking, for example, about bodies of water? Jesus walked on one. And the wind. The wind is mentioned twice in that passage, at least. What's the significance of that in Hebrew thought? What might the Jewish readers of this and the hearers of this or the disciples themselves be thinking when they saw Jesus on the water and when that wind was blowing in the way that it did? How might they be thinking about that? Will help us to understand the meaning of the passage. And again, what is the purpose of this incident? Now, once we can state that in our own words, we can move on. So we write down ourselves, the meaning of this passage is, the reason this passage is here is because. We write down our own thoughts on that, and then that helps us to move on to the rest of the preparation. Now, in the book, again, of Haddon Robertson's book, you'll find more on the issues of the subject and the complement, but I won't go on to that now. You can have a look in the book. So to wrap up, Robinson says this. He says, one device you may find helpful is to paraphrase the passage in your own words. Write out your own paraphrase of what's going on. And at that point, you should be able to do two things. First, you should be able to state the idea of the passage in a single sentence. In other words, its purpose, its meaning. One sentence, what is it all about? And second, to state how the parts of the passage relate to that idea. So you've got your core idea that's in the passage. How do the other parts relate to it? It is hard work, I'll grant you. And it does take time. But if you get this done well, then the rest of the lesson will come together much, much more easily. So what do you think about these tools, and what are your favorite tools for digging into that text and then building that bridge? So a bit of digging and a bit of bridge building. What helps you? I would love to know. So please drop me a line. Also, you may consider joining the Athens Institute of Ministry for the UK and Ireland to develop your understanding of Scripture. The module we most recently taught was homiletics. You could still join that if you want to. And we have a number of other topics you'll find on the website, which is aimukandireland.com. And you can contact us with inquiries on the email courses@aimukandireland.com. If you've got any thoughts on today's topic from this episode, then please drop your comments below and leave them where we can all see them, because we can learn from each other that way, and that's the best way to learn. If you have any questions about the Bible, then drop me an email, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And if you'd like a copy of my free book on spiritual disciplines, then please sign up for my newsletter at my website, which is malcolmcox.org. If you know anybody else that might benefit from this, please pass the link on, leave a review, and subscribe. Hit that notification button. Remember, at all times, no matter what else is going on, to keep calm and carry on teaching. Until the next time, take care. God bless.